Good morning. I'm Holly Sexton in the 98.3 WQXE News Center. This is Community Forum. This week, we play part two of an interview with the late Ralph Reis featuring Sarah Fellows.
So they called me to active duty as a lieutenant in August of 1948. And we had a little baby, yes, Renee. And he said, I'm sending you to Eglin Field, Florida, as an inspector. I got down there, and the colonel said, Reis, you're a second lieutenant. This job calls for a lieutenant colonel and a major. But when you came into service, they were still in middle school. So you got the job. You're filling a slot that calls for a lieutenant colonel and a major. He said, going out to Muroc Dry Lake and get an inspector place. So he said, go over to operations and get your plane right. I went over to operations. I said, Captain, we need to get a plane to Muroc Dry Lake. We're going to inspect out there. He said, Lieutenant, let me tell you something. You're a lieutenant. You give me your name and your number. If I ever have an airplane going out there, I'll let you know. I'll give you a call. So I went back to the colonel, said, what happened? I told him, he said, shut the door and step out there. Boy, he must have chewed that captain out. Because in a minute, staff car pulled up out front. We got in the staff car. We went over there. The airplane was sitting out front ready to take us. The captain saluted me first. So we went on out there and inspected Muroc Dry Lake. Came back to Edward Arsenal. And then by that time, he said, we're going to send you the Berlin Airlift. So I'm in Berlin Air. I'm going to leave my wife and baby at home, and I'm going to Berlin Air by myself. So I got the Berlin Airlift in January of 1949, 1st of January. And the colonel said, Reis, you're second lieutenant, and you're an inspector. This job calls for a lieutenant colonel and a major. So he said, I'll tell you what, you got the job. It's yours. In March, I called long distance back home and sent money home and had my wife fly over with a baby. And so we were in Burtonwood, England, for 3 years. And our son was born over there in 51, ready to come back. In November of 1951, he brought back a lieutenant colonel and a major. I was the first lieutenant. He said, Reis, here's your replacements. I felt good about that, yes. And come on back, and we were in Westover, Massachusetts for a while, and then Andrews Air Force Base, and Major General Mormon was the commander of Andrews. We had a reception for the general, and as I was going through the reception line, I said, General Mormon, where were you on August the 5th, 1941, 42? He said, crashed in the bomber. He remembered we both crashed in that bomber, yes. He was a major general then, see. So he remembered that, and he told his wife that too, yes. And then I went on over. Then he sent me to Korea for 8 months, and then they sent me to Japan. And then when I got to Japan, I said, I want to bring my wife and family home. I want to go home and get them. Now, they gave me 30 days to go home and get my wife, and I had three kids then. I had my daughter, my son, and my another daughter was a baby. So my mother was taking care of her because she got polio, and just a slight case of it, but she had to have special treatment. My mother was a nurse, so my mother quit her job, and she went with us. We all went to Japan, so we all got to Japan and put over 3 years in Japan, and we come home, and I promoted to major and retired. As a major in January 1961, yes. Well, after that, I went into, they didn't pay us anything. The government didn't, the people liked the troops and everything, World War One and World War Two, but the government didn't. The government would not give us a raise. We did not get a raise. When I retired in January 1961, with a wife, and I had a new baby then, wife and four children, my retired pay was $278 a month. That wasn't the crime. The crime was all these master sergeants, tech sergeants, and staff sergeants that had their 20 years in retired, they got less than $100 a month. I was lucky. My wife had her family had a big home. We moved in with them and shared the expenses. So if these staff sergeants, tech sergeants, and master sergeants didn't have any connection, they had to live on the street. We had thousands of heroes living on the street, drawing less than $100 a month. And we did that for 25 years before we got a raise. Yes, we didn't get a raise for 25 years after World War II. And that's when some military people got out, went into the Congress and the Senate, and they voted in the COLA, cost of living. As soon as they voted in the COLA, we got a big raise. I was doing fine, yes. So finally, I went into banking, but I come down here to Fort Knox because we wanted to be close to, we missed the service, and we close to the hospital and everything. And I went to banking at Fort Knox. But I went on the city council in Ratcliffe. I was on the city council in Ratcliffe for 10 years. I was also, because we had foreign officers come in to go to armor school, and there was about 12 different countries sent their officers and their wives into the armor school down here, and they needed a representative, United Nations representative. So I was the first United Nations representative for the state of Kentucky here at Fort Knox, and I was in charge of all of those, and I took care of them. And gave them, once a year, I took them around to visit all the businesses, our fire department, and the police department, and all over the whole area. And then I took them to, we had a big dinner, and I had all their flags from their countries set up around the table in a big circle. Yes, it looked real nice. Did that every year for about 10 years. And I joined the Chamber of Commerce, and so all the new businesses were going to open up. I held the ribbon cutting for all the new businesses for 25 years, yes. And September of 1977, I come down with cancer, and I told the doctor, I said, I lost all my family with cancer. And my mother lived the longest. All the rest of them lived about three months. And he said, well, you got major cancer. And I knew I was going to be gone. And he said, well, he heard my whole story. So when he was getting ready to operate on me, right outside the operating room, we were by ourselves, he said, Reese, I want to tell you something. I became a doctor. And then I became a surgeon. And you know something? I can't cure a scratch. I can give you a medicine for a scratch, but I can't cure it. Only God can cure a scratch. So he said, I'll tell you, I'm going to pray for you, and you pray for me. And I did, and I told him I wasn't afraid anymore. So went ahead and operated on me, and I lived through it. So they brought Command Sergeant Major out of Louisville to train me, but I had permanent colostomy. He trained me, and I asked him, I said, who's going to train your patients? He said, well, we don't have anybody. And he said, we don't have anybody to train them. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll help you for a couple years. So they gave me my blue coat, my badge, my picture badge and everything, and I'm going to help train their patients for a couple years. I was 56 years old. Later, my wife was also a volunteer, but she volunteered for years and years longer than I did. She was volunteering in Japan and everything. But I was on a cane, and I called the commanding officer at the hospital at Fort Knox. I said, I need to come see you. He had me come see him. I went in. I said, permission to wear my hat. And he said, you wear it, yes. And I said, I got to stop volunteering on here. I said, I was 56 years old when I started volunteering. I was going to help him for 2 years. He said, how old are you? I said, 92. He said, you've been doing our patients for 35 years. Yes. I said, yes. I took care of them for 35 years. I had over 208 patients. Yes. Yes. So that made me feel good. But my wife had over 50 years in Red Cross and over 50 years in military hospitals, hospital work. And they finally made her honor her by, there's only two honors now you can get. There's Clara Barton, was the founder, I think, of the Red Cross. You get a Clara Barton Award. Now you can get a Frankie Reese Award because she had over 50 years in service. They surprised her when we had a big Chamber of Commerce meeting, and they called her up front, and the man come from the Red Cross come over to present her with her 50-year pin. It had a real ruby in it. He said, I've never seen one of these. So they now have, at Fort Knox, they now come up with the thing, Frankie Reese Award. So now anybody that gets 50 years in gets a Frankie Reese Award, yes, yes. So that's her there, yes. But I got a picture of her in her uniform and a picture of me in uniform on the dresser here. So my wife got cancer, and I lost her in 2009. And she left me with four children, 16 grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren. If I had her spouse, I got 48 in my family, yes. She's in a veteran cemetery up here, yes. But we had 63 years of wonderful marriage, yes. And we were in England together and Japan together for 3 years outside the United States, 6 years outside the United States. So that made it nice for our family, yes.
So what, all the service you've done service in the military, you did service at the hospital. What has it meant to you to do that? How has that impacted your life?
You don't do anything for money. You know, you do it for volunteer, and you feel good about it because you are a volunteer. And I held every new business that opened from 25 years in Ratcliffe. I did the ribbon cutting and everything and held that. So that was all part of my thing. And I was I'm still in the Chamber of Commerce. I've been in the Chamber of Commerce longer than anybody in there because I come in January of 74, yes. So this year, by May, when I first came in the engineers, I will have 79 years in service and retired, yes. So I've had a wonderful life. I got my family and everything. But I got two guardian angels with me at all times. I've had two guardian angels for over 80 years. My back went out, and they put me in the hospital at Fort Knox. Stretched me on my back for 31 days with 15 pounds on each leg. I was stretched. And then when they finished, a nurse took me to the room, said, "This, you're going to get your... rehab here, and a little white-haired man was standing beside me, and she said, "You right here, and we'll be back to get you rehab." When she left the room, he said, "You want to come back here again?" I said, "No." He got up and did an exercise, had me do the exercise. I got down to put my shoes on. He disappeared. So I left because I already had my thing. I came back in 2 weeks and she said, "Where did you go?" I said, "What do you mean, where did I go?" She said, "I told you we were coming back in to give you a rehab." I said, "Well, a little white-haired man there gave me the rehab." He said, "We don't have a little white-haired man." She didn't see him, but I saw him stand beside me. It's the first time I ever saw him, yes.
You've been listening to Community Forum with the late Ralph Reese and Sarah Fellows. I'm Holly Sexton, WQXE News.